Boker Tov, and welcome again to our continuing series of Daf Yomi. We are now in the final Mishnah of the first chapter of Masechet Chagigah, and we'll be finishing the parak this morning. The Mishnah on Daf Yod Amud Aleph states, we're going to see in this Mishnah, and the reason it's here is because of something in the second category. There's three categories of areas of halacha, which have a varied rate of anchoredness in the written text. There's certainly room to speculate to what extent this Mishnah is some sort of a response to Sadducean claims about the tradition, but we'll leave that for another form. So the first category, which has only one item in it, is Heter Nedarim, which is the ability to go to a Chacham and have him release a vow. Heter Nedarim Porchim Ba'avir. These are things that are up in the air. They have no text to rely upon. It's a Masorah, Torah Sheval Peh, but there is no text in Torah Shebichtav that they are anchored in. We will see several challenges to this at the beginning of the Gemara. Hilchot Shabbat, Chagigot Ma'amilot, there's three things that belong to category number two, and they are the laws of Shabbat. We'll see which specific laws of Shabbat and Chagigah, which is why it's here, and Mi'ilah, trespass of the Kodesh. Harem Karim Atulim B'Sa'arat. These are like mountains that are held by a thread. In other words, Shenikra Mu'at V'Alachot Merubot. They have minimal text in the Torah and many, many halachot. Hadinin va'avodot ha'tarot va'tumot va'arayot. These five belong now to the third category, which is criminal law and avodah in the Beit HaMikdash, tahara and tumah, and arayot, illicit relations. Yesh lana mashi smochu v'hein hein gufei Torah. We're going to later fix it to read hein v'hein gufei Torah, but these are things that are well anchored in the text, and they have what to rely on. Now, the statement that says they have what to rely on indicates that there are some things in each one of these categories, dinim, tumah, in these one of these disciplines, dinim, tumah, tahara, avodah, and arayot, that are not explicitly written in the text, and that are part of the Masorah, and yet they are still, because the entire body is well anchored in the text, in any case, they're all gufei Torah. So let's start with the first one, which is Heter Nedarim. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Yesh Lama Mashi Smochu. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees and says that Heter Nedarim really is well anchored in the text. What is that? Look at Pesukim number 1 and 2. Pesuk number 1 is from the end of Vayikra, where it says that if a person yafli, if a person expresses explicitly a desire to donate the value of a person to Hashem, and the second Pesuk, which is the same exact phrasing, Dabravene Zohar Talim, Ish Kuzhaki Yafli, and that is talking about Nizirut. Rabbi Eliezer says, Yafli ki yafli twice, shtei pamim, why does it say it twice? Achara fla'ali isur v'achara fla'ala heter. It's there to tell you that just as an explicit expression can create the prohibition, an explicit expression can create a release from the prohibition, and therefore Heter Nedarim is well anchored in the text. That's opinion number one. Rabbi Shua Mer, Yesh Tom Amal Shishmocho, Rabbi Shua has a different source. Shenemar Anishbati Ashenishbati V'Api in Tehilim Tzadiyeh, Hashem says, I have taken an oath with my anger that these people will not come into the land. And the notion he has is, V'Api Nishbati V'Tuchazar Tivi. I took an oath in my anger, and then I changed my mind, and I ultimately allowed Bnei Yisrael to enter Eretz Yisrael. So you see that a neder, even a neder of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can be released. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Yesh Tom Amal Shishmocho, he's got a third proof. Shemar kol nadiv libo. This is in the description of the gifts brought to the Mishkan. All those whose heart had moved them. Meaning the idea was that even people who had taken an oath to bring it were not fully committed except that they were moved by the Spirit. In other words, they could get released from their oath. Chananya ben Achir b'Rishu Omer. Chananya was the nephew of Rishu, a famous story about him at the end of Masechet Brachot. Pasuk in Tehilim Kuf Yotet, which is, I have taken an oath and I will fulfill your laws. Mashma, that I took an oath and I could get released from the oath, but no, I'm going to fulfill them. I'm a Yudah Shmuel. So Shmuel made the following comment about this collection of proofs that goes against our Mishnah. Shmuel said, if I were there at that time, I would have said I got a better proof. Shenemar le'echel dvaro. Pasuk number 6 on the page, at the beginning of the Parsha of Nedarim in Parsha Matot, says, Ish ki dor neder lo yachel dvaro. He is not allowed to profane his word or to violate his words. What's the drasha? Hu eino mechel aval achrim mochlin lo. He cannot violate or forgive his words, but others can, and that's Hatzer Chachamim. Good. So Amar Rava, so Rava made a comment now, 3 generations later, on what Shmuel said. All of the opinions of the Tanoim could be challenged, and the interpretation of Psukim could be read differently. Shmuel's is the only one who really stands the test. So let's go through them. The Imid Rabbi Elazar, the first one, which is Rabbi Elazar, said, ki afli, says, Dumak Rav Yehuda. Maybe, perhaps, the reason for ki afli, in the case of Nazir, is not there to allow for hafla'a leheter, but rather, like Rabbi Yehuda Shema Mishum Abitarfon, not Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Abitarfon, Yolam Ein Echad Mim Nazir Shal Enan Nazirut Al Alafla. A special halacha in the case of Nazirut, that if, let's say, a person is walking by, and two guys are standing together, and one guy says, I am a Nazir if that guy is a Nazir. And the other guy says, I am a Nazir if that guy is not a Nazir. So Rabbi Tarfon said, neither one of them is a Nazir. Why? Because Nazirut demands Hafla'ah. What's Hafla'ah? Explicit, unequivocal expression, not a conditional statement or anything of the sort. So in other words, the phrase ki afli is not there to allow for another expression, in this case an expression of heter, but rather it's there to identify that you only become obligated as a Nazir with a clear and unequivocal statement. Good. Imer Rav Yeshua, if we take Rav Yeshua's pasuk in Tehillim, Asher Nishbati, maybe Hashem said, Asher Nishbati V'Api, I took an oath, and therefore I've not changed my mind. And indeed, that generation did not go into the land. It was only the children who went into the land. Im Rabbi Yitzchak, if it is like Rabbi Yitzchak who said that it's kol nediv libo, maybe Nilma Lafuke min Shmuel, maybe it's just there to go against Shmuel's opinion. Shmuel gamar v'libo tzirich shiotzi v'sfatav. Shmuel says, if you make a commitment to bring something to the Hekdesh, you also have to make an oral commitment. An internal commitment is not enough. So therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak says, kol nediv libo, or shall we say, we say that the pasuk kol nediv libo is there to tell you that if you made a commitment in your heart, you're already chayav. If you're going to take the pasuk, nishbati v'akayema, famous halacha of Rav, how do you know that it is both okay and perhaps even laudatory to take an oath to push you to be mekayim mitzvah? The same pasuk from Tehillim. So it's not there to say that even though I took an oath, I could still get out of it because heter nedarim, but rather to say that it's acceptable and it's perhaps even a good thing. And this is a sugya nedarim, daf zayin. As to what exactly the neder is chal, if you're already chayiv to do the mitzvah. But in any case, perhaps that's the limud. El de Shmuel lately pircha, but Shmuel's statement has no challenge. We can stand up. That's what people say. That's why they say one sharp pepper is a lot better than a whole basket of dull squash. One good vort is outshines them. If you recall, we had the same exact discussion of Zion in Megillah, all the different proofs that Esther was written Baruch HaKodesh, and Shmuel, again, was the one at the end said, all those Tanaim, I had a better one to say, which was Kimu V'Kiblu, and in the end we had the same comment, that his was the only one who withstood any challenges, or there were no challenges presented. Good. The second category on the page is Hilchot Shabbat, is things that are anchored in the text, but have little text and much halachot, but they have some anchoring. First one is Hilchot Shabbat. What do you mean? Michtav Ktivan. It says, Lo Tase Kom Alacha. It says that in the Torah. So, Lo Tzrich Halacha Rabbi Yav. Now, there's a particular nuance of Hilchot Shabbat, which is not in the text. And it's exemplified by the following case. Damar Rabbi Yav, Chofer Gumav Shabbat and Tzrich Alafarat. If you dig a hole in Shabbat, which is a subset of Choresh, of plowing, but if you dig such a hole and all you need is the dirt, you didn't need the hole, you need the dirt, patur aleha. So then you're exempt. Now that is something that is not written explicitly in the Torah, That is kechuta talui b'sara, kaharim atzliyim b'sara, like mountains held by a thread. Well, wait a second. Keman k'Rabbi Shimon. That only follows Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda have a machloket. What happens if you take a mate out of the house? Rabbi Shimon says you're potter for caring. Because after all, you don't want the mate there, you just want the mate not here. And that's called a malacha shenet tzricha legufa. Rabbi Yehuda says, malacha shenet tzricha legufa, malacha, where you're fully intending to do the thing you're doing. This has nothing with davar shenu mitkaven. But you're doing a malacha in which your end purpose is not the typical end purpose of the malacha, but something else, an ancillary benefit. Rabbi Yehuda says, you're chayiv. So that means you're going to tell me that our Mishnah, which says that Hilchot Shabbat are hanging by a thread, that's only according to Rabbi Shimon, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, Malacha Machshavet is a regular Malacha. The answer is, Afilu Temi Rabbi Yehuda. Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree in this case. Hata Metaken, when you move the mate out, there's some sort of constructive benefit. Hacha Mekalkelhu, here you're digging a pit, all you're doing is wrecking your backyard. So even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you're patur in such a case. Maikarina fleeing the Sarah, so why is this considered like mountains hanging by a thread? Because the answer is, the Torah only forbade when it came to Shabbat, in other words, malacha, where your end goal is the purpose of the malacha. That's not written. Good. The next one on the list of things that are kaharina klin misara are chagigot. Chagigot, nichtav ktiva, the Torah says, shivat yamim tachog, samachta b'chagecha, it's all written. So lo tzricha l'charam alei papa labayi. And your papa asked the Bayi, how do I know that the Pasuk regarding Pesach says, this is regarding Sukkot. How do I know that that Pasuk refers to a korban? Dilma chugu chaga kamarachwana. Maybe Hashem said, have a party. So you're going to tell me also that the word lachug, the verb lachug, when Hashem says to Moshe, tell Paro that I want Bnei Israel to come out in the midbar v'yachoguli, achinam v'chugu chagahu, maybe Hashem is saying just come out and have a party? If you want to suggest that that's the case, and part of the negotiations between Moshe and Paro, Moshe said to Paro, you're going to send out korbanot with us. So achikam v'rachmana, maybe this is what Hashem said. Maybe meant, come on out and have a party and eat and drink, but not korbanot. So you can't say that, because the Torah says in several places, the fat of my chag should not stay on the mizbeach all till morning. So that obviously a chag then is a korban. Festival have fat? Doesn't make sense. So maybe the Torah means this. These are all straw men because we know what we're going to end up with. Maybe it means chelav chagi means the fats that are brought during the holiday. But chag still means a holiday. She's going to tell me that the only time that we have to get the fats off of the mizbeach by morning is on a chag, but otherwise we could leave them there? So the Torah says that even with an olah, that it has to be done by morning. No, perhaps that pasuk is just saying an asay to have it be burned up by morning. So maybe lo yalin chelav chagi is there just to tell you that there's a lav of having the chelav stay all night on the mizbeach and then even till morning on the chag. So lav katav krachmi achrina. We have another pasuk for that. You're not allowed to leave it over until morning. Right, so there is already a lav. So maybe it's written in order to say that on the chag there's two laving plus the assay. Right, Ella, so clearly we're not going to get full satisfaction in saying that we know for sure that a chagotem oto means bring korbanot. Ella atya midbar midbar. The answer is that we get it from the word midbar. Ktiva achav yachogu li b'midbar. In Moshe's negotiations with Paro, he said, let them do a chag in the midbar. Ktiva hatam azvachim mincha yigashtem li b'midbar. And in the Sefer Amos, it says, did you offer me zvachim and mincha in the midbar, malahon zvachim afkan zvachim. So we know that they're both zvachim. My kavinatulin misara. So why do you now call it hanging by a thread? You've got a good pasuk. The answer is divrei Torah and divrei Kabbalah loyalfina. To infer the meaning of word in the Torah from its use in Nevi'im is something which is not explicit in the Torah, and therefore it's considered, in other words, chagigot, meaning the interpretation of the word viachoguli, meaning bringing a korban instead of just having a party, that is karina tulin bisara. Good. The third and final item in category number two is mi'ilot, trespassing against the Kodesh. Classic case of mi'ilah is when you have money that's hekdesh money, or it's a classic example, and you go and use it for your own purposes. Now, the halacha of mi'ilah is your only moel if it's b'shogeg. And we'll see as follows. Mi'ilot, mi'chtav k'tiva. There's a whole parsha about mi'ilah in the end of Vayikra, in the parsha of Vayikra. Macham alonit zuchal l'chrin nine. Now, we're going to have several suggestions here. The first suggestion is a very straightforward one, which is the chiddush of shlichut b'mi'ilah. Hashaliach shasa shlichuto balabayit ma'al. If the balabayit tells somebody in his house, go take that money and go to the store and buy something for me, and it turns out the money is hektesh, and the shliach did exactly what the balabayit said, the balabayit is chayiv mi'ilah, not the shliach, which is somewhat unconventional because we generally hold that ein shliach l'dvar avera. If a shliach does an avera, he's not considered a shlichut, he's considered the agent. Good. Lo asa shlichuto, but if he does it differently, the guy says, take that money, he takes a different money, he says, go buy bread, he goes buy wine, whatever it is, then shliach ma'al. Chasa shlichuto amai ma'al, so how come if the shliach did it properly, the bala bayit has his mo'el? Vizech chotev, is emit chayev? What the shliach does, the iser and the balabayit chayav, so there, that's why this is something that's hanging by a thread. It has no model elsewhere in the Torah. So Amarava, my kushya, Rava says that's not such a big deal. Dilma shani meila, dilma de yalfa chet chet nitrumish. Take a look at the psukim, they're not in the text. Psukim on the page, which are pasuk number 13 and 14. You see the word chet in meila and chet in truma. And this is a sugi also in the second parak of Kiddushin. You see, chait, one in truma, one in meila, and mahatam shluchos adam kemoto, avkan shluchos adam kemoto. And what do we know about truma from pasuk number 15? From the words gam atem, we know that a shliach is effective for purposes of truma. Right? So that means that just like a shliach is effective for purposes of truma, I send a shliach to take truma, it's valid truma. Same way, if I send my shliach to do me'ilah, it's really considered me'ilah. Right? So that's not a chiddush. So now, Amarava Sarava comes up with his own solution. Lo nitzvacha elacharetanya, we need it for the following. Nizkar balabayit v'lo nizkar shaliach. Let's say the shaliach sent the balabayit out to go buy him something, and afterwards the balabayit remembered, oh, that money was hektish money. But the shliach didn't know about it. Shliach ma'al. Then the shliach is chayv from me'ilah. So shliach anya ma'ika avid. What do we want from the shliach? He didn't know anything. That's the weird thing about it, that's hanging by a thread. So Marashi and Marakusha, Marashi turns around and says, well, that's not so difficult. If you have a bunch of money in your house, and some of it's from out hektish, and you pick some up, and it turns out by accident you took the hektish money, and you go to the store and buy something, you're chayav for it, even though you didn't know. So we already have a model for that. We'll come back to this in a couple minutes. Elam Ravashi. So Ravashi comes up with a third solution. Nitzvacha elachanan is for this following mishnah. Tal evan korah ush elektesh. If you pick up a beam or a stone of hektesh, hareza lo ma'al, that's not me'ilah. It's an ala chaviro, but if you give it to your buddy, hu ma'al, chaviro lo ma'al, you're chayav me'ilah, your friend who you gave it to is not chayav for me'ilah. So michtam mishok yishkol shkola, if your friend took it, why are you different than your friend? This is the weirdness or the innovative piece which is hanging by a thread. So my kushya, why is that so difficult? Maybe that mishnah should be interpreted like Shmuel. Damar Shmuel, hacha begizvar misurot lo avnei binyan askina. We're talking here not about a regular guy, but about the treasurer of the Beit HaMikdash who is in charge of watching these things. Everywhere they're sitting, they're sort of in his purview. So when he picks them up, there's nothing until he hands them to another guy. That's why the meila happens. Elami Seifa, it's from the second part of that Mishnah that says, if he took this rock and built it into his house, It's not meila until you live in the house a shavapruta worth of hanah. If it's a rental, or however you figure it out, it's obviously not very long, but you do have to get some benefit. Since, after all, you built it into your house, you already made a shinui, which should be the kinyan right away. Mali dar, mali lo dar. Who do I care if you sleep there or don't sleep there? That's the innovative nature. So my kusha, the Gemara says, maybe this is a case like Rav. This is talking about where you actually built it in the house, but you put it in front of the window. So it's only if you lived there and you actually got benefit because you didn't do any shinui to it. We go back to our second answer, which is talking about when the shliach, when the balabayit afterwards remembered that it was Malat Hekdesh and the shliach didn't know, and the shliach's chayiv. And you think it's the same as using Malat Hekdesh to chulin? Remember, in that case, I knew in my house some of this money was Hekdesh. And if I lay the uni, I should have been more careful and looked to make sure I wasn't taking the wrong stuff. Hacha mi yada here, you don't know that. You didn't know anything. The guy gave you money, you went out and you spent it. You had no reason to think any of it was Hekdesh. That's the strangeness. It's Suliyanatulim Bisara. This part I totally left off of the page because I ran out of room. But Nikramuat Valachot Merubot. So the Mishnah says that that second category has minimal text and many halachot. Tana Negaim v'yo halot. We have a Tana who says that Negaim, which is Sarat, leprosy, scale disease, whatever it's called, and Ohalot, the laws of Tumat Ohel, Mikramuat v'alachot Merubot. Those have minimal text and lots of halachot. Well, anybody paying attention to this week's Parsha testify that it is not minimal text. And those of us who are the Bali Kriya certainly know it's not minimal text. It describes Tzarat. It's a very lengthy text. Gaim mikram muat, gaim mikram merubu. Gaim has lots of text. Rapapa hakamar, gaim mikram merubu alachot muat. Toto alot mikram muat alachot merubot. Here's what he meant. Negoim have lots of text and not a whole lot of oral tradition, and Oalot has the exact opposite. My nafkamina, what's the value of knowing that? Imistafkavach, milta ben negoim, ayin bikarai. The answer is if you're not sure about something about negoim, look in the Tanakh. If you're not sure about something about Ohalot, you go to the Mishnah, because that's in each of those places where you're going to find most of the information. Tov, the third and final category of the Mishnah was those things that are very well anchored. But there's some oral tradition that has what to rely on. So the first one is dinin, criminal cases. So Michtav Ktivan, it's all in the Torah. It's needed for Rebbe's Drasha. The Tana Rebbe Omer Nefesh Tachat Nefesh. Famous pasuk that we have, pasuk number 16 on the page, that if there is somebody is killed, then you give nefesh tachat nefesh. This is killed inadvertent manslaughter. Mamon. Atalmer mamon, o eino ela nefesh mamash. The answer is nefesh tachat nefesh does not mean you kill somebody. In this case, it means that you have to pay reparations. How do I know it's reparations and not really killing? Here it says, v'natan biflilim. In this case, there's a netina elsewhere that you have to give. That's always reparations. All right, good. Avodot, michtav ktivan. But the Mishnah says that avodot have some things that they rely on the text. They're all in the text. So nitzuchel halachat adam. You have to remember that there's four steps in the avodah, four avodot that are done with a korban. That's shchita, kabbalat adam, receiving the dam in the vessel, holachat adam, walking to the mizbeach, and then zrikat adam, putting it on the mizbeach. Now, that's critical to know that those are all four avodot, because if you botch up the machshava in any of those avodot, it botches up the korban, depending on many details in there. Tanya v'krivu zu kabbalat adam. We have a pasuk that says that Aharon, Bnei Aharon, right after the shechita, it says that they bring the dam close. Well, they haven't yet gotten the dam, so v'krivu there means that you receive the dam in the vessel. Yafku rachmonav lashon halacha. And later on, the Torah, in the later pasuk, which is pasuk number 18 on the page, it says that v'hikriv akoin et hakol, that he will bring it close. And what is that referring to? That's referring to holacha, bringing the chtiv, v'hikriv akoin et hakol v'hikriv akoin et hakol, nomar zu holacha tevrim lekadesh. That's referring to bringing the parts of the animal to the ramp. So why does the Torah use the same verb, la'akriv, for kabbalat adam and for holachat adam? Tell you that holacha is also an avodah. Right? So that is something that's not explicit in the text. Taharot, it says taharot. Bichtav tivan, all the deans of the name of tahara are written. It's there to tell you that the shear of mikvah, which is not explicitly written, is anchored in the text. So lo k'tiva, tani rachatza p'sara b'mayim, he has to, in one of the cases of tzvila, this is a tzav, has to wash his body in water. Why does it say his body? Be mikvah. It called the saro, all of his body, mayim shkol gufo levayim, meaning water that your entire body could fit in. And the chachamim, or mishayir, they estimated, come in ama al ama b'rum shalosh amot. It's one ama wide, one ama long, three amot deep. And do the math, v'shiur ha-chachamim me mikvah ba'im sa. That comes out to 40 sa'a. That is not written explicitly in the text, but it's anchored. Tum'ot, what are tum'ot? Mikhtav tiva. Torah says all sorts of things are tamei. V'nitzucha al-achad ha-shem in ha-sheretz, the lok tiva. The minimal shear that a sheretz, one of the rodents, if it dies, and you touch it, the minimal shear that has to be there to create tumah is the size of a lentil. The Tanya Bahem, take a look at the last pasuk, is really two pasukim next to each other. Tanogea Bahem, kol asher yipol alav mehem. So Bahem means achol b'chulan. I might think that you have to touch the entire thing. Tamal lomar mehem. Therefore, it says of them. Yachol miktzatan. I might think, therefore, you can touch even the smallest bit, or you have the smallest bit size left. Tamal lomar Bahem. You have to touch a piece that is as big as an entire thing could be in its smallest size. Because a chomet, which is one of the rodents, starts out at that tiny size. So therefore, that's the smallest size you could have that could actually be an entire animal. He says the shear is like a lizard's tail. All right, the last one on the list was Arayot, Michtav Ktivan. It's needed for if a man has relations with a woman who's not married to him either, and later on he's chayv to marry her, but whether he does or not, the daughter who is the fruit of that union is asur to him, and that's not written anywhere in the Torah. Damarava, Amarli, Rabbi Yitzchak, Barav, Dimi, Atyahena, Hena, Vachazima, Zima. It's learned, take a look in Rashi, you could see several psukim in the parsha of Ariot that connect the daughter of your daughter with a woman who's not your wife, who is also usher to you. Now the fact that that girl's daughter is usher to you at bat pincha, that's explicit in the text. But the daughter herself, and we cannot learn it from a kal v'chomer because ein onshim min hadin and ein. Take a look at the Rashi here. So that's why these things are anchored in the text, but these things are relying on an oral tradition. The end of the Mishnah said, "Hen hen gufei Torah, but hani in hanachlo." Only the last things are gufei Torah; the first things aren't. Elaim hen vehen gufei Torah. Switch the vav, and it says these and those both are gufei Torah, whether they are basically anchored in oral tradition, basically anchored in the written text. So if we have finished the first parak. And Yom Hashem, tomorrow we're going to begin the study of Ein Dorshin.